Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this time of praising and worshipping you we've been able to enjoy. Lord, we just thank you for the chance to be here. Lord, to come together with other believers, Lord, to spend this time with you, to reset. And Lord, let's pray that as we take the time to think about your word, to look at your word today, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would say, that you speak to each of our hearts, Lord, each one of us. Lord, something for us, Lord, what you want us to have today. Lord, we just pray that. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me. Lord, I pray that I would allow you to speak through me, and Lord, that we would each allow our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would allow you to speak to us. And not just that we would have knowledge, but Lord, that we would be strengthened in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to start this morning with Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 to 21. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation," or in other words, in which is excess, "but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So this morning I just want to talk about just really the key, those a few words there. Was it 1, 2, six words there in verse 18? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or it says, just be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit just because being filled with the Spirit is essential to living an abundant life. And just had a thought of a few things that I wanted to share about that are essential to us living an abundant life. The first one of, you know, which a couple of months ago now is, you know, embrace the cross. You know, we need to embrace the cross, not just to be saved, but to make sure that our life is dedicated to Jesus in every way if we want to live the abundant life that he has to offer. And the second one, which is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I shared about some of this a few weeks ago. What we see is after giving the Great Commission, Jesus then commands his disciples. He tells his disciples not to do anything. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to make disciples. He says, but don't do anything yet. He says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. He promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hey, and Nick talked about sheep being baptized this morning because essentially that's what's happening to them. Well, we need to remember that we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You can choose to be baptized in sheep drench if you'd rather, but Jesus commands us, Jesus tells us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this occurred on the day of Pentecost, so they had to wait 10 days from Jesus' ascension, and they received the Holy Spirit. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. As it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And it's key there, it uses that term, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a pattern which is repeated through the book of Acts. You know, wherever there are salvations, the disciples made sure the new believers were then filled with, that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, we see in Acts chapter 8 that Philip goes down to a city in Samaria and he preaches the gospel and there's many that are saved. And as soon as the apostles in Jerusalem hear about it, there's Peter and John go down there to pray with them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 8 and verse 15 and in 17 that they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 9, Ananias is told by God to go and pray for Paul after he's seen the vision of Jesus on the road. He says, Paul, I've come to lay hands on you that you may receive your sight and you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, he wasn't sent to pray, to lead Paul in a prayer, because Paul had already repented. He'd already changed his life. He already knew that Jesus was Lord and who he said he was, and he'd already accepted that and received that, but he still needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 19, we read that Paul comes to Ephesus and he finds some believers there. And the first questions he asks them is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And then in verse 6, it says he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Holy Spirit, the same as on the day of Pentecost. And always we see through the book of Acts as they follow up salvations with ensuring that the people are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's always associated with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And this is essential. And it's essential to understand the difference. You know, when we are born again, when we are saved, it says that we are born of the Spirit. John chapter 3 talks about being born of the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we are sealed with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And so we already have the Holy Spirit with us, leading us, teaching us, enabling us to live the new life, transforming us, enabling us to live obediently. See, because even though we might repent, even though we might ask Jesus into our heart, we might pray a prayer, we might change our mind about things, we want to live for God, that actually still in our humanity, we can't do that on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to understand the things of God, to be able to understand the Word of God. And because we're born of the Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit with us, then we're able to begin to understand. We'll be able to begin to live obediently and to live out the life that God has for us. And yet still in that, Jesus said there was something more. And it's not just that one instance on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, because the disciples, the apostles, make sure that everybody receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we are told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason is for power for ministry, power for service. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, he said, you know, but wait in Jerusalem until you are endued, until you are enclosed with power from on high. So we need this extra power for ministry. So now we not only have the life of Jesus in us, but the same Holy Spirit who empowered him, who empowered Jesus, is now empowering us when we are filled with the Spirit, when we are baptized with the Spirit. And that's why we need to see this as so important, the filling, the baptizing with the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, it's not only that we receive power for ministry and power for service, but when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, our awareness and knowledge of God, our understanding of Him and of His Word, our joy and our peace, all of these things are all multiplied. So you say, well, I'm already saved and I already have peace and I already, you know, beginning to understand the things of God. But when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, these are multiplied. And I'm not just saying that, you know, out of some sort of learning. I'm saying that because that is my experience. When I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, the things of God became even more alive. My understanding of Him became even more alive. My joy, my peace, my love is multiplied. You know, it's still a growing thing, but these are multiplied at the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so the first part of of understanding what we read in Ephesians 5 verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is that we need to have this infilling with the Holy Spirit. But Paul is not writing to believers who have believed but have not received the Holy Spirit. And there's a distinction here. As I said, it's the first part. in Acts chapter 2 and the other places we read through Acts where it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But it says there in Acts chapter 2 that they were filled. It's past tense and it's singular. In other words, it's something that happened. It's something that happened one time. Which is why I like to, my preference is to actually use the term the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Jesus also used to describe this, because it describes something that happened once and it impacted us, sure, and it stays with us, but it's something that happened once. Whereas in Ephesians 5 verse 18, where Paul says to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's present tense and it's continually, it's ongoing. And, you know, and I don't fully understand all this stuff. You know, there's a little bit of some Greek words I read and understand. I don't, and you know, that's okay. But there's some of this stuff I don't understand. So I'm really grateful for other people, other things that I've read that show this. But my understanding is, or the understanding of those who study this, is that when Paul writes, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit," he's not talking about a one-time event. That initial infilling, that initial baptism with the Holy Spirit is important. But then he says to us that we need to be experiencing something which is in the present, which is now, which is ongoing, which is continual. So we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So what's he talking about then? He's not talking about a constant repetition of Acts 2 experience. And I think back to when people laid hands on me and prayed, and I prayed and I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues that night, and wow, if that could happen every day, that would be fantastic. Well, mate, wouldn't have to happen every day, you know, that would last for quite a while. Maybe even if it happened every week, every Sunday we came here. But he's not talking about a repetition of that, but he's talking about constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to fill and spread throughout our mind and soul and our thinking and doing. And so be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your mind, to fill your soul, to spread through that, and to spread through your thinking and your actions. It's a moment by moment repeatable action. And the term fullness implies many things. So if we think about being filled with the Holy Spirit as that initial experience, you know, it implies, you know, no lack, no shortage, everything we need, even overflowing. And that's what happens to us when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive that. But we're also then told to live in this experience where there is no lack, every day, no shortage, we have everything we need, overflowing. You know, just briefly, some thoughts that I mentioned last time about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to be spread throughout one's soul, to be thoroughly permeated with, to be saturated. So our soul, our mind, our thinking are saturated with the Holy Spirit, with His ways, with His thoughts. You know, whatever takes possession of the mind is said to fill it. So in other places in Acts, we read of people being full of joy. So, you know, because that's what's the most common thing, you know, their mind, it's like their mind is possessed with joy, and we come across people like that sometimes. You know, or other times the disciples were described as being full of grace and truth. So it's like their mind is possessed by grace and truth. That's the thing that comes out first, that everything is filtered through those, through that lens. But when we talk about taking possession of our mind, the Holy Spirit doesn't hijack our mind, but He takes control of it so that we can hear, understand, think, and speak the will of God and the ministry of Jesus. And not only that, but our actions then would reflect that. You know, it's to live in such a way that our whole lifestyle is affected. You know, our whole thinking is affected by the Holy Spirit. And that our whole then, our doing is affected by him. And it's important to note here in this verse that being filled with the Spirit is contrasted with drunkenness. Paul doesn't say, just in the same way you get drunk and you do stupid things, be filled with the Holy Spirit and do stupid things. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in some ways there's some similarities about being in control of our mind. But it's a contrast there because drunkenness takes over our mind. And it causes people, I don't want to identify myself with that, causes people to do things they normally wouldn't do. But being filled with the Spirit brings our mind under control to know and do the things of God. It brings us into the reality of God. And I sort of think of it as being like a sleepwalker. A sleepwalker interacts a little with the world around them, but really they're oblivious to so much of it and they miss out on so much of what is really happening. And if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, we might, you know, interact a little with the things of the Spirit, but we're missing out on so much of what God has and so much of the world that God has, the reality that he has for us. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're able to interact fully and we're able to fully enjoy and fully participate in what God has. And we're able to fully participate in the spiritual realm. Okay, so having said that, it's sort of like the introduction. Let's just go back to the book of Acts and look at some of the instances where it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I've already mentioned that, with one exception, all the instances where people are initially baptized with the Holy Spirit. But there are many other times it talks about them being filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense that Paul is talking about in the continually, the ongoing fullness, the ongoing experience of the Holy Spirit filling us. The first one is in Acts chapter 4. And verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness." So the disciples here, all the believers who had already been baptized with the Holy Spirit, are filled again with the Holy Spirit. And there's something similar here, you know, maybe to the experience they had in chapter 2. But it's not like they receive another baptism, another infilling. But they are filled again, they're topped up. And we see the result of them being filled with the Holy Spirit is they spoke the word of God with boldness. And that gives us a hint also what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means, and why God wants that for us. If we were to look at verses 29 and 30, we could see, you know, what they're praying at the time, and that would perhaps gives us a bit of an insight into what I'm going to mention just a little bit later on about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they're praying, says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." So they're praying, they're desiring God to work through them. And then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And God answers their prayer by filling them with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit directs our thinking, controls our thinking, leads us into the things of God, and leads us into outworking and fulfilling the ministry and the work of Jesus. If we go across to Acts chapter 6, and verses 3 and 5, says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And then down in verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor." Okay, you can read the names there. But even in the choosing of the men who would be deacons, and their main job is just to make sure that, you know, the food and things are distributed evenly, but they had to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we see that term "full of the Holy Spirit" used there twice in those verses. And it's not talking about people who are just filled once, who are just baptized once, but people who are living in a constant state of allowing the Holy Spirit to direct and influence their lives. And I said to the disciples, we need some people, you know, to help us here. The disciples say, well, anyone who gets appointed needs to be full. They need to be in this constant state of allowing the Holy Spirit to direct and influence their lives. And they chose men, seven men who were living that way. You know, we can continue on, Acts 7, verse 55. Now this is Stephen. It says, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Wow, you know, what a magnificent vision. But it says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was saturating his being, his soul, his mind. Acts 11, verse 24, talking about Barnabas. It says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." Barnabas, you know, he's been talking about the way he's encouraged the churches, encouraged the believers, because he's full of the Holy Spirit. You know, he's not just gifted, or, you know, he's not just someone who at some stage was baptized with the Holy Spirit, but he is full, he is living in this place of fullness with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directing his mind. And again, we see the outworking, the result, and a great many people were added to the Lord. The intention of God. And where we see that sense there, we talk particularly Stephen and Barnabas, and it says they were filled with the Holy, or they were full of the Holy Spirit. And the seven deacons in chapter 6. It's the same idea as in Luke chapter 4 verse 1. After Jesus, after he's being baptized, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. So even Jesus, the Son of God, you know, but because he'd laid aside his glory and he came and lived as a man, and he'd lived sinless. But to perform the work which God had for him, he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know from there, you know, for the rest of Jesus' life, from there through his ministry until his crucifixion, he'd live full of the Spirit. And we see what he did, and we saw what he taught. And it's the same thing that the disciples experienced when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they were full of the Holy Spirit, directed and led in the same way. And it's the same thing that God wants for us, is to be full of the Holy Spirit. Not so that we become little Jesuses, but so that we can properly outwork and properly fulfill what he has for us. Acts 13 verse 9 says, "Then Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts 4 verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." These people were full of the Holy Spirit, not just, and that's what Paul is saying to us, that's what God is saying to us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be full of the Holy Spirit, not just having him near us, but being led by him. Our lives identified with him. You know, our actions, our fruits, our desires. It's the idea of being filled up as opposed to empty. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're empty. So why do we need to be continually filled with the Spirit if we already have been at some stage? You know, I was filled with the Spirit back in, well, for me, 1987, which, just to make me feel old. Why do we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, quite simply, we leak. And I think Trev mentioned a couple of weeks ago about leaking, you know, about joy leaking out of us. You know, we need to be constantly filled. I think it was joy you were talking about. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to remember that, Trev, and borrow that for this week. But we leak. See, because we still live in the world. We're exposed to the world. We're exposed to the influence of the world, and we're exposed to the influence of the flesh and the desires. You know, we're distracted by other things. And all of these, in some way, cause the Holy Spirit to leak from us, at least our experience with that. You know, we have the fullness of the Spirit, but our experience of Him within our lives leaks out of us because of these things. You know, we're still growing, we're still learning, we're still not perfect yet. And so we continually need to be filled and topped up with the Holy Spirit. And if we think about this, it works quite well in the natural. You know, we've just gone through the summer and, you know, my arms have got a bit brown. And I hope there's no one, you know, I hope the Cancer Council's not listening here. But many of us would understand this. You know, through the summer, you know, our skin turns a bit darker. But then through the winter time, you know, a few of us have this experience. The first time we put on shorts in the springtime, and everybody wants to put on their sunglasses. You know, and it's quite appropriate because the Bible says God is light. When we're exposed to light, you know, like our skin might change color and, but then when we're removed from that, then we lose that. You know, a battery, which is fully charged, is fully topped up, it has full of power. But unless it is recharged, you know, it needs to be recharged. It loses its charge. It needs, you know, a car battery, if we don't recharge it, then one morning we'll go out and the car won't start. And there's so many things we think about, you know, like water. Water just evaporates, doesn't it? Unless you've got it sealed in a container. The same thing happens with us. We leak. And it's not about the imperfection of the Holy Spirit, because He's not imperfect. It's not about the finiteness of the Holy Spirit. He's infinite, but it's about us. It's not because we only get part of Him, but it's about because of us, because we leak, and so we need to be constantly, continually filled. And so then we get asked the question, how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, the same way that we're naturally filled. And just also amazed about this, the word that came through, is that this has actually already been answered for us this morning. How are we filled? How are we satisfied in the natural? Well, we have to be hungry. And Trev brought the word for us this morning about being hungry. Matthew 5 verse 6, and he quoted that also. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be hungry and thirsty for Him. But when we talk about being hungry and thirsty, it's about a passionate desire. It's not just having a, you know, it's not just being hungry. It's not just that we're starving. Like if it was just the fact that we're hungry, as in lacking, then we'd all be filled, wouldn't we? Because without God, we're all lacking. But the hunger and the thirst is about a passionate desire. And the movie Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and they come to this place and they're invited for food and they haven't eaten for quite a while, and the woman that's it's Indiana Jones' sidekick there through the movie, she says, "Oh, thank goodness, I'm starving." And she goes in and they're eating insects and all sorts of creepy crawlies and so forth. And suddenly she's not hungry anymore. She says, "Oh, no thanks, I had bugs for lunch." The need for food was still there, but her desire for it had changed. And that's when we read the words to be, being hungry and thirsty. It's about our desire. You know, I went to school at Yankawag. Yankawag is a boarding school. I spent the first 12 years of my life eating mum's cooking. And it was good, it still is good. I went to Yankawag, it was not mum's cooking. When I was there, they had a lot of orange trees, and almost constantly outside the canteen there'd be, you know, a crate of oranges filled. I ate a lot of oranges in 4 years. You know, I'm 4 years, teenage years, I'm a growing boy. Anyone who's had sons knows about boys, especially when they get to teenagers, their appetite, how much food they need to eat. But there were times I would go to the dining room and I would leave without eating everything that was given to me. I'm a little less fussy now, perhaps, but I didn't necessarily have the desire for what was there. So we need to be hungry. You know, when the about being hungry and thirsty for the Holy Spirit, it's about really deeply desiring Him. God just quickly reminds me of a story that, you know, there's three fellas, construction workers, they work, working up the top of a skyscraper, building it. Every day they have the lunch there. One day, one of them opens his lunchbox. He says, "Devon sandwiches again. I am sick of Devon sandwiches. If I get Devon sandwiches one more time, I'm going to jump off the top of this building." Second fella opens his lunchbox, same thing. Third fella, same deal. All of them saying they're sick of Devon sandwiches, okay? Next day, open the lunchbox, first fella, "Devon sandwiches again, that's it, I've had enough," jumps off. Second fella opens his lunchbox, same deal, jumps off the building. Third one, the funerals, they all have their funerals together at the same time. The wife of the first fella says, "If only I'd known how much he hated Devon sandwiches, I would have given him something else." You know, and she's distraught. The wife of the second fella is distraught. Said, "If only he told me that he didn't like Devon sandwiches, I would have packed him something else." And they look at the wife of the third man, and she says, "Well, I just don't understand it. He packed his own lunch." The thing is, we can have food there, but we can have no desire for it. We can actually go somewhere, and we can have a need for food in our bodies. We can have a need for water, but we can leave not being satisfied because we haven't taken what's there. And that's what it means to be hungry and thirsty for the Holy Spirit, for the things of God. And that is how we're filled. And just quickly from a couple of Psalms, actually the Psalms in so many places, especially in David's Psalms, he uses words such as a hunger, thirst, you know, longing for God's presence. For example, Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for or longs for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And Psalm 63, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you." You know, just a couple of examples, and there's many others that use those terms, the long for, the desire, the hunger, the thirsty after God, that passionate desire. And it also says in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so mostly we are not filled because we are not hungry enough. And if I would be honest with you, I guess, you know, that too often for me, you know, I'm satisfied with just part of the meal, satisfied with just having God there and a little bit of God. But all of us can never be filled with the Spirit unless we have that, you know, we can never be full of the Spirit unless we have that deep desire. You know, and we find God, this desire for God, we find Him in His Word, in prayer, in faithful fellowship. You know, we find Him as we seek Him. Just quickly also, be submitted to God's will. That's how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Avoid the things that grieve the Spirit. Conscious sin, ignoring Him. Gossip and other things that affect relationships. Rebellion, these all grieve the Spirit. So if we want to be filled with the Spirit, we can't be doing the things that push Him away. We can also get involved in the same things that the Spirit loves. Love for people, in building people up. See, because the Spirit, Holy Spirit, what's it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. And so if we want to know what the Holy Spirit loves, it's the same thing Jesus loves. And if we get involved in those things, we invite Him into our lives. We invite Him to be part of our lives. And I can't overstate the importance of praying in tongues. That's something we can do at any time. But as building a hunger, builds an expectation, builds an environment for Him to come in. We don't have time to look into the whole context, but in Luke 11 verse 34, Jesus said, when your eye is good, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. So where are we looking? We want the Holy Spirit. Let's be looking at the things of God. So Ephesians 5 verse 18, be filled with the Spirit is a command. Being filled with the Spirit is ongoing, and be filled with the Spirit is from without. Another way to describe this, as I borrowed this from Barry Chant, is to allow yourselves to be filled with the Spirit. We don't get filled with the Spirit by anything in special that we do, but it's really allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit to continue in the power for which He is given, to continue in the purpose for which He is given, which is, to outwork our purpose, to outwork the life of Jesus in us, in both personal holiness and in ministry. So if we're lacking and we're frustrated about a lack in our ministry or about our personal walk, about our personal holiness, the answer is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I want to say to you this morning. Just two things quickly, and I think Nick and the team are going to come back and then we're going to head into communion. So if they're around. The two things I want to say to you this morning, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing for all of us is that we would allow ourselves to be continually filled with the Spirit. Not just a one-off, but continually, ongoing, every day. So Lord, I just want to thank You that You don't leave us alone. Lord, even as You said, You would not leave us orphans. You would come to us. Lord, You come to us through Your Holy Spirit. You give us Your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to be with us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would not be satisfied with just a part of You, with just a small part. Lord, so often it is so easy to be comfortable in our faith with just having You around and having a little bit of You in our lives. But Lord, I pray that You would stir us to be hungry for You, for You not just to be there, but for You to be in us and leading us and guiding us in every way. Lord, I pray that we would allow ourselves to be filled with Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we do so, Lord, I pray that we would see outworked in our lives, Lord, the purpose. We would see the life and the love and the truth of Jesus shine through us. And Lord, we would see ourselves empowered and equipped for ministry, the same as You intended for us. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.